The story is that a stranger came to this place and said, "What kind of a town do you have here?" They answered, 47% of our people own their own homes, while 67.8%... And the stranger interrupted and said, "Your statistics will tell me nothing. Every town has industries, stores, and homes. But tell me what kind of people you have, and I will know your town." They were on Main Street. They said, "If you want to know what kind of people we have, look at this man. His name is John Edgar." The stranger said, "Why? What does he do? Is he the mayor?" They answered, "No, he's not the mayor. And John Edgar probably doesn't even know what he does for all of us. But if you'll watch, we think you'll see he has his effect on his town, his country, and his world. Actually, John Edgar's in a hurry. He has a meeting. But this man just wanted to be sure John would be at the town-wide committee Monday night. While she just wants to say how glad she was that John and his wife got to the school meeting. And what are they going to do about the new wing on the hospital? Somebody's got to organize. John agrees they need it. But he's sorry he's late. Can they talk about it later in the week? Tomorrow. She'll call him tomorrow, definitely. He almost forgot the new fishing rod he promised. Today is Pete's birthday. This is the one in the window. Tonight, after the meeting, he'll get through early and come back.
Hello?
Hello, dear.
Hi.
You're late.
I know.
Hi, Dad. Did you get the rod?
Well, I wanted to tell you,
Pete. Oh, isn't it a beaut?
You look tired, dear. Why don't you sit down?
Well, it's just what I want, Dad.
Well, I was going to explain, Pete. I just didn't have time to stop.
Didn't stop? Dad, I wanted it for tomorrow.
Well, now, don't worry. I'll get it.
You told him you would, John.
I know, but there was just so much to do, Helen. Now, don't worry. I'll get it.
You always have so much to do. I thought you'd keep your promise.
I will keep my promise, Pete.
Okay.
Why, he's disappointed, John. You did say you would.
I know I did, and I intend to. But people have been asking me all day about the new hospital, the town-wide council, and I don't know what else.
John, I know how much people ask you to help, but we do have to think of the children.
Think of the children?
I mean, we can't get so busy that we neglect them.
Helen, I can't stay home all day. There are obligations. Oh, I know I take on a lot of things. Certainly wish I could say no. Well, if the children feel they're being neglected, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong to get involved.
Well, you just think about it. I'll go get dinner.
Oh, I'll get your fishing rod this evening, Pete.
Swell. Can we go down after dinner?
No, I've got a budget meeting at church. But I'll get there, unless something happens.
Okay. If you say so.
Now, we've discussed that matter, and I think we've reached a pretty good decision on that, so we can go on to some more business.
Oh, excuse me, Roy. Is that all the business we have for this meeting?
Well, I was going to say, I think the reports that we've heard show that the affairs of our church are in pretty good order. Of course, we'd all like to do more. So suppose now we take up the matter of how much we're going to give our Christian World Mission.
Oh. Are we going to take that up tonight?
Well, John, we've been asked to make quite an increase this year. Maybe we'd better start thinking about it. I think you, Dave, as our minister, should say something about this.
Well, we've all been pretty well briefed by the letters we've been getting, but George here's been at the state conference, and I think he has some ideas.
Well, thank you, Dave. I just want to say that while I was at the conference, I got a better idea of our Christian World Mission. We had a talk by Dr. Alfred Carlton, and I was very impressed. Now, this only suggests some of his points, and I'd like to quote some of the things I remember. For instance, Dr. Carlton told us of the work of the American...
There was a time when it was felt that all that was needed for the mission of the church was a preacher and a Bible.
Movement.
To go here was and there. Simply the geographic extension of the church. that it is no longer important to go from here to there with the gospel. Rather, we have all...
Nor are there any missions in the old divided sense. It has become one mission to the world.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I know all this is important work, but I do think we have to consider our own situation.
Yes, our people have so many demands on them. Oh, I'm sure we all do. There's always something to give to or something to support right here in our town. Or as a matter of fact, right here in our church.
I was thinking the same thing.
Roy, we've had a number of suggestions from our members to improve the church property and our services. And we've agreed that most of these ideas are sensible. And the thought has occurred to me that no matter what we might like to do, our first obligation is to our own members, to keep up our church.
I agree. I don't know how we can ask people to give more when they're already being asked to give. I'm sorry, Clyde and George, but I have a family errand to take care of. Anyway, I don't see how we can do any better than to leave the apportionment as it's been in the past.
Well, is this going to be our recommendation to the council for giving to our Christian World Mission?
I'm sorry, Roy, but I have to leave.
Oh, here, John. Take these with you.
All right. Will you excuse me?
Of course. Yes. Now, should we discuss this more now, or would you rather leave it to the next meeting?
Well, it's entirely up to you.
So why should I be the one?
John recognizes that voice.
I'm trying to be selfish.
It was Pete's.
Everybody feels we've got a nice gang here already. Now, why do we need anybody else?
Well, he's a stranger. He just moved here. Somebody ought to at least invite him.
She must think he's good looking.
I haven't even looked at him.
Besides, we haven't got room. Look, we don't even know if he'd be interested.
Well, you're the ones to decide. I don't want to tell you what to do.
But like I said, we've got all there's room for already. I just thought we'd ought to consider how we feel.
I think we should, but let's think about this because, well, this is a very old question. How can we respect ourselves or love ourselves or enjoy ourselves if we don't share? And there's even a little more to it than that because, well, I don't mean that we should share only because it makes us feel good, but because this is what we believe.
Well, you're probably right, but we don't even know if he'd be interested.
Well, we can ask. The only reason I suggested, Pete, your name was that, well, he lives up your way.
I haven't even talked to him.
Well, anyone else want to speak to him?
What's his name, Dan?
Butterfield, Malcolm Butterfield.
Okay, I'll talk to him.
All right. Now, what else were we going to... Oh, hello, Mr. Edgar.
Hi, Dad.
Come in.
No, I haven't earned. I'll see you later. Good night.
I don't know why you couldn't have talked to this guy. He lives right up near you.
Got a date for lunch? I could meet you.
Gosh, I don't remember. Why don't you call me at the office?
I'm going shopping.
Oh, what's Pete going to do?
What do you expect? Fishing, of course. I don't think he's ever got a present that pleased him more.
Well, he picked a fine rod.
He's certainly satisfied.
Good. Oh, I hear you're going fishing, Pete.
I don't know whether I am or not.
Why?
I've got to get this whole reel unsnarled. Bud Stevens wanted to try it. And I was dumb enough to let him.
Well, you probably would have wanted to try his if he'd gotten a new one.
That's the trouble. He hasn't got one. He doesn't know how to handle it.
Well, probably his father can't afford one right now. You know, they've had some bad luck. Bud going with you?
He is not. From now on, I'm not letting anybody touch this.
Why does he have to be so selfish?
Well, it's new. Johnny's upset.
I'm not so sure it's as simple as all that.
Well, I'm not sure either. It isn't just Pete. It's all the young people. They seem to have so much these days, and there are times when they seem completely self-centered.
Well, we don't want our children to be.
I know.
How in the world can they ever be happy?
Apparently, we haven't done the right thing.
Well, why not? Think of how hard we've worked to give them things.
Well, they're lucky, that's what I say. But the point is, they haven't learned to share. That must be our fault.
We've given them a decent home, a good school. We've tried to give them a good town to live in.
You arguing with me or with yourself?
No, it's just that we've given them all these advantages, and now I'm beginning to wonder.
We've given them the advantages, but maybe there's something wrong with our example. Maybe that's it. Maybe we've been self-centered, too.
Well, a minute ago, you were telling me that I've been giving too much of myself, and now... Hey, what time is it? Boy, I've got to get out of here.
If I don't see you for lunch, will you be late for dinner?
I'll try not. We'll talk about this later.
How do you decide what to do? It's the dilemma of most parents. You try to do your duty to your fellow men and the world, but what profit will there be if the next generation doesn't understand, doesn't benefit? And this, the literature George gave him last night, should read it. But maybe he'd be better to give up everything. Let the world go and concentrate on your own. And yet the youngster has to have a school. This is one of the things John's worked for all the children. What was it Dr. Truman Douglas, executive vice president of the Board of Home Missions, said at the last conference?
And there are other youngsters and youths in far-off Ceylon, in Alabama, in the Philippines, maybe even Ohio, USA. They too have parents who are concerned that their children shall grow up to the full stature of their promise. Do their work in the world with skill and competence. Live in the confidence and power of a faith. And not only parents. Isn't it our Christian faith that the very God of the universe shares in and is in fact the source of all this human caring? And holds us responsible for one another. Was it not the Christ who said, "Whoso shall receive one of these, receiveth me"?
Its problems, and John has his. After all, there's the job of making a living. Maybe if he hurries, maybe if the phone doesn't ring, maybe this afternoon he and Pete can... What is he going to say? She says it's a crisis up at the hospital. They should have a meeting of the board. Naturally, she's called John. There may never be a plaque to say so, but John is one of the citizens who created the hospital. And as it turned out, here is where they took Pete with his appendix. So how much has he neglected his children in this instance? He and Pete might have gone fishing more often, but how much can the parents of this world build hospitals, keep their children well, if they don't give time, thought, money, themselves? And John is very sure of this. You can't have the security of health in a world that is half well and half sick. Wasn't this what George had said at the meeting in which he quoted Dr. Carlton? What were Dr. Carlton's words?
It was thought at one time that the health of the world depended only on the verbal preaching of the gospel. All that was needed was the Bible and a preacher to go here and there over the world, and the work of the mission was done. That was true whether it was to the Indian Territory, to the Northwest Territory, or to India or to Japan. The essence of the missionary movement 150 years ago was that of a geographic extension of the church. From that, there grew the whole movement of church extension in this country and the whole missionary movement abroad. Sitting at my desk as the executive vice president of the American board, however, I can see that there have been very important changes coming over the missions movement of the church in the last 150 years. The first one has been the broadening of the concept of the mission of the church. It is no longer simply a verbal preaching of the gospel, but it has come to include a whole range of activities and the employment of many kinds of specialists. Medicine, healing, clinics and hospitals, the health of the body as well as the soul, has become an important concern of the Christian Church. And so, both the boards of home missions and foreign missions have taken on large programs of health and medical work in Puerto Rico, in the western states, in the far lands of the earth, in the jungles and on the plains of Africa and Asia, and in some cases of Latin America. Similarly, social work has become an important part of the activities of the church. It is necessary to understand the environment in which Christians and non-Christians live, and to understand the sense of community which binds them together. So, in the work of the Board of Home Missions among the migrants of this country, in areas of racial tension, in the Harlem Protestant Parish and other great city situations across this land, and likewise under the American Board in Johannesburg, and in Japan, and in India, and in the Philippines, it has become an essential part of the Christian mission to work with people to help them to understand and to adjust to the new situations of modern life. There has come up, similarly, the whole program of social action to extend the concern of Christian people for the welfare of the human race in the day in which we live. Relief and reconstruction have become important, and the Congregational Christian Service Committee must carry on an important work of understanding, of relief, and of social welfare. Agriculture, even, has come into the concept of the responsibility of the church. Thus, the mission has been broadened into all aspects where the welfare of men may be affected. It is no longer a question of differences between one country and another, for in the modern world, we are all neighbors and share one another's problems. There is no longer a sharp distinction of the home and the foreign mission. Rather, there has come an understanding of the fact that the Christian church, wherever it may be in the world, is part of a faith and a fellowship which shares the problems and the resources of the entire church, and which must devote many of these resources to a continuing reach toward those people who are outside the church, whether nominal Christians in this country or non-Christians in other lands. The world has become one, and the Christian church has learned to think in those terms. That is the essence of the mission today.
The world is one, and the people in it, one family under God. How can anyone deny that? For a moment, John was confused by his son's disappointment. And this isn't the first time that has happened to a father. But the child's desires and needs are real to the child, real beyond reason. Where is the line? Can we be too conscientious? This concern with strange people in strange places, how much of his father must Pete lose for that? Strange people in strange places? What about this? Our own people in our own land. Here they are in the shadow of our own church. What did his wife say about their example? What kind of an example can it be to our children if we're indifferent to this? Dr. Truman Douglas, Executive Vice President of the Board of Home Missions, put it this way.
There is nothing else remotely like it. There is nobody else to take it up if Christian people neglect it or abandon it. It is the Christian mission. What is this mission? Put very tersely, it is simply this. It is the planned endeavor of the whole Christian fellowship to marshal all its powers and resources to do God's will in the real world, in our time. It is the deliberate ordering of all the skills and capacities and dedications of the Christian community for the service of God's purpose in our generation, God's purpose as he has shown it to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to this understanding, every local church is a mission. Every individual church member is a missionary. Those organizations that we call mission boards are only instruments, though indispensable instruments, of this whole mission, which is the central business of every Christian and every Christian church. What all of us need to do is to see every fact of our time from the standpoint of this mission, the service of God's purpose for His world, for His creation. Here's a crowded neighborhood in a great city. Perhaps the outsider would call it a slum. What is God's purpose here? Undoubtedly, it includes better housing and less crowding, and a chance for children to see green fields and woods and make contact with the elemental things of earth. But it's something more. It is the purpose that every man shall know that his life has a meaning, that it begins in God's plan and ends in the fulfillment of His plan, and is held at every moment in His loving and fatherly concern. God's purpose for the people of this neighborhood includes membership in a comradeship of mutual caring and mutual trust. It includes that which can be found only in the church. And here is a class of young men and women in one of our Negro colleges in the South. Today, they are people under terrible pressure. The pressures are there partly because you and I have helped them develop their gifts and talents and realize the promise of their capacity. And in consequence, an old order of life is now threatened. And some of our fellow Americans do not like the threat, do not like the change. What is God's will here in all these trying circumstances? Surely it is that no son or daughter of His shall stop short of the fulfillment of His abilities. Surely it is that none shall be left standing alone, that all shall know that beside them are comrades who care about truth and justice and freedom. Through the Christian mission, you and I are able to do this day by day. And above all, it is God's purpose that all men everywhere should know Him, should be strengthened by His living word, and glimpse His majesty and the majesty of His will for them in worship, and receive the wonder of His victory over evil and despair and death that is His gift to them from the cross of Christ. This is the Christian mission. No one will carry it forward except the church. That means no one but you and I.
No one but you and I. Now John knows it would be indifference to his own children to be indifferent to these. But why hasn't it happened? Why don't our own children understand? Has all the work been for nothing? Is this really Pete? How about all the times he's acted generously, decently? It's hard to know. If only Pete would... The pastor talks, the Bible is quoted, but to the parent of a child who seems not to have heard or understood, these are words, words, words. And yet Pete is his father's son. These words do have meaning for him.
It is indeed good to work for freedom, health, education, and justice. For it is God's will that man should have these things. But He has made us for higher ends. He has made us for Himself, that we might know and love Him, worship and serve. Nothing other than God can ever satisfy the heart of man. Forgetting this, man becomes his own enemy. He seeks justice, but he creates oppression. He wants peace, but he drifts toward war. It is man's predicament. He cannot, of his own strength, meet the needs of life. But there is hope. Here where we stand, Jesus Christ stood with us, and with Him a new life began. He sent forth into the world a new community, bound together by His Holy Spirit. sharing his divine life and commissioned to make him known throughout the world. It is not enough that Christians should seek good things for themselves. They must seek good for all men. Great masses of people in many parts of the world are hungry for bread and are compelled to live in conditions which mock their worth. The Church of Christ is a worldwide fellowship which affirms that we are all one family of God, where any man can find a home and know that God loves him without limit. Therefore, let us rejoice in hope, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Expect new power to break through every human barrier.
Today, this morning, in this year of our Lord, these words have had a special meaning for John Edgar. He has heard and he understands.
It was excellent.
What happened? Where's Pete?
I don't know, but I don't think he heard half the sermon.
Why?
I don't know. He just sat there looking around and thinking.
I thought it was a very good sermon. Oh.
What?
He's talking to somebody. Who is that?
I don't know.
Can we meet right here in the social hall every Thursday night?
Sounds swell.
Can you come?
Sure.
This is my mother and dad. This is Malcolm Butterfield. He just moved here.
How do you do, Malcolm?
Well, how are you, Malcolm?
You know, he's come to church Thursday night.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, say, do you like fishing?
Sure, my dad and I go fishing all the time.
Can he come home to dinner?
Well, of course.
If you can, I'd like to show you my new fishing rod. And you can try it.
Great, I'll ask my folks.
Oh, we'll wait. Okay, Dad?
Okay. See, I've changed my mind. I don't need any more argument as to why our Christian world mission. If we believe as we do, our missions are inevitable. It's as simple as saying we have to practice what we preach. Otherwise, our Bible is gathering dust. Now, I know I said at the last meeting that I thought we had to take care of our own church first. But now I realize that our church doesn't even exist unless we extend our faith even beyond our sight. I now believe it's not just our missions that are dependent on us, but the very life and purpose of our church are dependent on our missions. Now, I guess I'd better explain part of the reason why I have this feeling. Don't we all try to give our children everything we can? But what good is anything? How much security have we offered them if we haven't given them faith in God and in the brotherhood of man? And I know this, that's the only real gift that we can give our children and the world.
And so John Edgar serves his town, his country, his world, and his church. And in knowing why he serves them, he is able to serve them better.